Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto thee from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Mark, the 9th chapter, beginning with verse 14. Through verse 29, Mark 9, verses 14 through verse 29. But first we will sing from Psalter 365, stanzas 1 through 4. From the depths my prayer ascendeth unto God on high. Hear, O Lord, my supplication, and my cry. 1 through 4 of 365.
Thank you. Congregation, before we read God's word, let us first read the law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep mine commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Mark 9, we'll begin with verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what questioning ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which had a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it had cast him into the fire, and into the waters, to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us, and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the defiled spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, His disciples asked him privately, "Why could not we cast him out?" And he said unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." Thus far.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mr. Henk Jan van Manen, a father of Mrs. Anita van Hagenbos, who is very sick. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, that we have heard that there is one, a relative of in our midst that is very sick, a message that has come unto him by the earthly physicians, but also then a message that comes unto him by thee. Oh, could it be a message that reaches not only our ears, but also the hearts of each and every one of us. Also in this morning hour, O Lord, that there may go forth from us also a cry to thee for the life of this friend, of this father, of this husband. O Lord, that thou may remember him in thy mercy, and if it could please thee, O thou great physician, to look upon him and to do for him what no earthly physician is able to do, and that thou may receive thereby honor and glory in the midst of this world, wherein thy name is so misused. Lord, wilt thou supply for him and all that love him? But could it please thee also to visit him as the greater physician with a word from above for the need of his soul as it travels to a great eternity? Lord, remember also another, also relatives in our midst that has received the good news from the doctors. O Lord, give a thankful heart. Then there is the one over against the other. And we know not wherefore that thou doest all things, but wilt thou instruct us all from above on our journey to meet thee? And when we may be together in thy house in this morning, and then we also know not what we carry about with us in our bodies, for they are so weak, they are so frail. Oh, when thou dost but speak, then in a moment, then we are given to feel how frail that we are. And then it is experienced that the moth does consume away our beauty. O Lord, wilt thou give us also understanding hearts of that inward malady, of that inward sickness, that inward weakness, that inward death, that we also may receive a cry to thee, that we may be delivered therefrom, that hell may have to let go of its captive, and that we may be as set free as a bird from the snare of the fowler. O thou who dwellest in the heavens, and who alone hast the power to rob the hell of its victims, we beseech it of thee. In this morning hour, oh, could it be in the hearts of many who have no right to come among thy children, in this morning hour to eat of their bread, oh, could it be a morning but in the power of thy Spirit that is feelingly and believingly experienced, that there may be an arrow that is shot into the heart of many, that I am missing that substance that I cannot miss. Shall it be well for time and for eternity? Oh, that this morning hour could be a morning wherein a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl is stopped upon their journey, and a holy jealousy that is born in the heart, a love for their Creator, for their Maker, a smiting upon the breast that they have sinned against God. O Lord, thou art able, do it, Lord, for the sake of thy great name. And then thou wilt receive all the honor and all the glory. Remember thy people. All thou knowest their place. It can be that they cannot feel that thou knowest in this morning where they are and who that they are. It can be that they are lying for themselves. So at the ends of the earth, and that it is so with them, that they remember the former days, and then from the end of the earth, and then their cry comes unto thee, O Lord, wilt thou remember me as in the days gone by, as in the former years, when I may experience something of thy nearness, of thy presence, of thy favor, of thy communion. And now, oh, then they must smite upon their own breast, and they must confess that they have left thee days without number, and that they are not able to bring themselves back again. Oh, how helpless we can sin it all away, and we can make distance between thee and our soul, but we cannot bring ourselves back again, and we do not know what that first step is again. Oh, Lord, thou who hast begun, and thou who never forsakest the work of thine own hands, we beseech thee, for thy own name's sake, that thou may remember thy people, that thou may remember those that are distressed, those that are in turmoil in this morning hour. And they have come up unto thy house, and they know not what is within themselves. It is a mystery, a divine mystery. And Lord, then they have come, maybe with a cry, O Lord, send out thy light and thy truth, and let them lead me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. O Lord, and then their cry is, Lord, keep me. Then if it is not right with me, oh, keep me away. But Lord, now if it is thy work, wilt thou bring me, wilt thou invite me, and wilt thou speak unto my soul, O Lord, we ask thee, and wilt thou remember them when they have so come up in this morning hour, that thou may hear them for thy name's sake, that they also may be able to say in this day, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles. O Lord, to whom else shall we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. We beseech it of thee then, Lord, that thou may remember all thy children. Oh, that it may be a day wherein their eye may be for a moment lifted up, away from all that is of self, to have a little view, oh, a little entrance into thy rest. In this morning hour, when they may, by a true faith, behold thee and all that thou hast for a wretched and a miserable sinner in thine only begotten Son. Oh, that his name may be lifted up in their estimation, in thy sight. Oh, Lord, look on us. Remember us undeservedly. Thou knowest what we deserve more than we know, better than we know. We confess it unto thee. We deserve to be left now. We deserve that thou would be silent because of our sin, because of our transgression. Oh, when thou wouldst come, then it will be all of mercy. Then it will be all of grace. But then we may experience something of what thou sayest in thy word, that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Lord, remember us then, and do for us, young and old together, a wonder in thy house. Remember the children. Oh, give to them and the youth a holy jealousy that may be born in this morning, and that may be for the first time in their life, and that their cry may go out to thee. Oh, Lord, remember me with that favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. Help us too, O Lord. Help us as thy servant. Thou knowest all our needs, the weakness of our body. O strengthen us therein, for thou hast called us unto this work, and thou hast helped us over and over again, time and again. O, could it please thee then, as thou hast helped us in the past, that thou may help us in this hour to strengthen us in our body and to give to us thy grace and the matter, oh, to burn within our soul and what we need in our mind. And could it please thee to come feelingly and believingly among us, oh, we ask it of thee. Take away what can hinder. Take away all that would come between us and thee, also us and one another. Oh, take away all animosity. Take away all hard feelings. Do take away all desire of revenge. Oh, take away the wretchedness, the misery that lives in our hearts, and give us, as brethren of one house, to be gathered around thy broken body and thy poured out blood. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 389, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Lord, hear me in distress. Regard my suppliant cry. and in thy faithfulness and righteousness reply in judgment. Do not cause thy servant to be tried before thy holy laws. No man is justified. The last collection today is for our school. We announce, the Lord willing, Reverend DeLeo hopes to do a topic for our young people in the Lethbridge Church on Friday, October 11 at 7:30 p.m. Psalter 389, 1, 3, and 4. congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in that portion of God's Word which was read to you from the Gospel according to Mark, the 9th chapter, the 24th verse, only in the last part. Mark 9, verse 24, the last part, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. So far, the words of our text. A soul's conflict. First, a trembling confession. Lord, I believe. Second, an earnest supplication. Help thou mine unbelief. A soul's conflict. First, a trembling confession. Second, an earnest supplication. If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Who is that congregation that is a poor father? That is the father of a demoniac boy. That is a father of a boy who has an evil spirit, a dumb spirit. And that for a long time we read of a child, and it is thought, we do not know, but it is thought that this is now no longer a little boy, but that he is actually has become a grown man. And now we say a poor father. Why? Because of the misery of his son. The misery of his son. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And that hath oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. That is his son. That is his boy. That is his flesh. O congregation, that is the father. But we sing sometimes that tender love a father has for all his children dear. Oh, then it is lived in the heart of the father what is now the burden and the misery of this son. And what is now that father experience in it? Oh, he experiences his utter helplessness. Then for so many years together, then he must look upon the misery of his son. Oh, then he must see how that the devil himself, then he has him in his grasp. And then he has no power to be able to deliver his son, to give him any relief. Oh, is that also your experience, the experience of some in our midst, that they have to experience what the power of Satan is, the misery with which they have to live in this world, and then that helplessness not to be able and not to have any power against him. If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Oh, to whom now is that Father speaking? He is speaking to the Lord Jesus. He is speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ. He has just come down from the Mount of Transfiguration. Oh, he has just come down from that place where some of his disciples may behold something of his divinity, may behold something of his great glory. If thou canst do anything, oh, what a way to approach unto the Lord Jesus Christ. What a way to approach unto the Son of God. What a way to approach unto the Son of the living God. If thou canst do anything, as if there was anything that was too hard for the Lord. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Oh, with one word of his power, he has brought all things into being. He speaks and it is done. He commands and he stands fast. If thou canst do anything, oh, what is it? Oh, it is doubt. It is unbelief. Oh, that awful, awful unbelief in that incarnate God. Oh, what a wonder that he is still bearing with such a people. Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? That is for him a grief. That is for him a dishonor. If thou canst do anything, where does that unbelief come from? Oh, that unbelief that is living in that man. That is living in that man from his birth. O congregation, that unbelief that is living in our nature, that is coming from our fall already, that is coming from paradise, dead in trespasses and in sins, so that we have lost the knowledge of God. Is that so with that man? That he is dead. That man is completely devoid of any faith. Congregation, that cannot be. Why not? Well, listen. Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Where does it come from? Where does it come from? That man, that he is in his home, and that there is now something in his heart that he has a desire, that he will bring his son unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what the Lord Jesus says? No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Paul says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Oh, then there was something. There was something more than unbelief. There was something else. There was something different. There was what? There was something of a hope. There was something that drew him in his great need. Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And now in that coming, that man has a great trial. Why? Because when he came there, the Lord Jesus was not there. No, the Lord Jesus was gone. He was on that Mount of Transfiguration with three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. And therefore, there are only the other disciples left. What a great disappointment for that man. Do you know such disappointments? Or a disappointment because that is the way it is in the life of God's children. That then there is sometimes by the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, a little hope. And then they are trying. Or they try to approach, but it is for them a disappointment. Why? Because, then they feel it. Or then they say, oh, he is not there. Then there is nowhere to lay their burden. A great trial. What does he do? He brings his child unto these disciples. They are Christ's servants. They are his ministers. I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out. And they could not. Congregation, what was that? They tried. They spoke. They commanded this devil. And they were not able. They have done it before. They were endued with power to cast out devils. And now they have tried, but nothing happened. They could not understand it. They are ashamed. And that enemy is there, the scribes, the Pharisees, the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are mocking. And what happens to that man? Congregation, he had a little hope. A little hope. It was as if there was a little spark. And what do you think happens to it now? And when the servants of the Lord, all they are commanding, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is nothing. Oh, then you understand that the hope of that man, it is like that little spark that is just drowned away under an ocean of water to put it out. Oh, the faults of those disciples, they are a blot upon Christ, a blot. The faults of the disciples, because later the Lord Jesus says, it is because of a lack of fasting and a lack of prayer. And Matthew says, it is because of your unbelief. Oh, the lack in the servants of the Lord, that is a detriment unto the very church itself. And then what? Oh, congregation, then we read something suddenly. Suddenly what happens? Then we read the Lord Jesus comes. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them. And the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed. And running to him, saluted him. Suddenly, they did not see him. Why not? Well, you understand it, children. Then there is this man. Oh, there is the demoniac. There is so much going on. Then the disciples, there's the Pharisees. And then they are all looking. And behind them is descending from that mount the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it happens so suddenly. That Christ is appearing, and the people, they are amazed. Oh, so it is going in the life of God's children. Oh, in all their distress, that they in all their misery and in all their need do not know that Christ is approaching, that the Lord is approaching, so that when he is coming, then he is coming upon that people suddenly. Oh, how glad was that poor father when he may see him. Oh, Church of God, you understand that, do you not? How up and down is the life of that people. And what a wonder for him that is. And when he thought now he had to take his son home again in the same condition to live out the rest of his time in all his misery, all then suddenly the Lord is appearing. And now when the Lord is going to give a blessing in the life of his people, then it becomes congregation different. It becomes different. What do we read here? We read, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Congregation, this man, he comes near. And you know, he feels something. Oh, he sees before him the mediator. He sees before him the Lord Jesus Christ. And he receives a certain liberty. Now, more than he did ever before. Now a liberty to lay his case before the Lord Jesus Christ. And then more. Because as he is coming in such a way, and then we read here something that the Lord Jesus speaks to him. Thus it is even more. The Lord Jesus speaks to him and he invites him. After he has rebuked the disciples for their unbelief, and then the Lord Jesus, he is inviting this man to bring his case. His case. His son unto him. He says, bring him unto me. O congregation, is there a people who know of this in your life? Or when the Lord is causing you to approach unto that footstool of grace, when the Lord is giving you a little opening, and when the Lord actually, he is inviting you to lay your burden, your particular burden, oh, then it becomes a matter between God and your soul. It becomes a personal matter. And the Lord, he gives a special opening. Because he says not only bring him unto me, but he begins to ask that Father. He says, what is it now? He says, tell me. Tell me more. Oh, that Father, he receives the opportunity to lay before the Lord Jesus Christ the deepest burden of his heart. He asked his Father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? Oh, he says to him, bring your son here. Tell me your case, tell me your burden. Oh, who can fathom what that was for this father to receive now this opening. Do you understand that already in this moment before anything has yet happened, that there is in the heart of this Father a burning hope? Oh, how the Lord, He is drawing that Father, and He is giving him in his great misery, in his great need, that freedom to access that throne of grace. And then we can read of the dealings that the Lord has with this man. Then He does not begin by healing his son. No, but the Lord begins by digging. Oh, the Lord says, dig deeper now, son of man. He says, how long is it ago since this came unto him? He says, how great is this misery? Oh, tell me just how deep it is. Just how deep you feel that it to be. Or is that something that came to him yesterday? Oh, that you are still looking for other physicians, that you say it is still possible that I can do this for him, I can do that for him? Oh, then is it just but a superficial burden? Have you only just begun in this need? Oh, how long is it ago? And now what must that father say? Oh, that father, he may come in truth unto the Lord Jesus. And he says to him, of a child. Oh, congregation, do you hear where the Lord is bringing his church? Where the Lord is bringing his children? They have to say, Lord, it is with me an impossible case. Oh, Lord, it is a case with me from the womb. I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Oh, Lord, it is with me that is from the crown of my head to the sole of my foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Oh, it is with me. It has become an impossible case. Oh, Lord, I do not know anymore what to do. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. If thou canst, oh, do you follow it in a spiritual way? If thou canst. Now, what does the Lord Jesus say? He says, if thou canst, believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. O congregation, we would say, is it not enough with this man? Or has he not experienced, has he not entered sufficiently into all his misery? Is it not time, O Lord, for thee to help, and that thou still goest further with him? But the Lord Jesus knows, oh, that fall that is more entrenched in us than we realize. If thou canst believe, and now the Father, he must struggle with this. If thou canst believe, oh, can I believe? Do I believe? Have I ever believed? Believe. There lies his son, wallowing, foaming, the spirit tearing him. if thou canst believe, if thou canst believe, oh, can I believe? Do I believe? Did I ever believe that Father is in a great strait? Oh, he struggles an inward conflict in his soul. He is before the Lord of the heavens and of the earth. His word that is as a sharp two-edged sword. It pierces to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. He knows all that is living in my heart. I cannot hide anything from him. Oh, canst thou believe? Master, I have brought unto thee my son. Oh, can I deny everything of that? Oh, must I say that everything is missing? Must I say that there is absolutely nothing? No, then maybe I cannot say that. But then he feels something. Then he feels what? Oh, he feels the defects. The defects. He feels the weakness of it. Canst thou believe? Oh, do I believe? Is it then a true believing? And if it is now a true believing, why is there now doubt? Why is there now unbelief? Why is there now fear? Why is there now turmoil? If I truly believe, or if I truly believe, why cannot I trust? Why cannot I rest? Why cannot I bring that case with true comfort and lay it all upon him? If thou canst believe, oh, can I believe? Do I believe? The Lord Jesus, he helps him. Do you know what the Lord Jesus says? He says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Do you know what the Lord Jesus does in that moment? When that man, when he has that inward struggle, the Lord Jesus opens something to him. He shows him something. He says, all things are possible. He declares his own power. He declares for him in that moment his own might. He says, oh, Father, there is nothing that is lacking from my side. Nothing. You doubt me. But all power that is given unto me in heaven and in earth, all things are possible to him that believeth. Do you believe that, Father? Oh, that Father, he may hear this from the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he must look for a moment upon his Son, the Spirit tearing him. Oh, then over him go so many years of that felt helplessness. that impossibility. If thou canst believe. And then he may take his eye and away from that sun, and he may look for a moment upon that blessed mediator who is declaring unto him his power, his might. Oh, and then, what may he say? Oh, Lord, I believe. I believe. Oh, trembling. Oh, Lord, it is enough. It is sufficient. Thou art almighty. Lord, I believe it. But help thou. Help thou mine unbelief. Oh, that faith that is in that moment that is breaking through in a trembling way, but connecting to it, that is an earnest supplication. He says, oh, Lord, faith that comes from thee. I feel it. I experience it. I have no power to believe except that thou would give unto me that power. Oh, no, I cannot deny that there is something, something that is experienced of it in my heart. But Lord, it is so weak. It is so small. It is so defective. And it comes not up to that standard that thou dost require. Oh, thou canst not be pleased with it. Because from my sight, oh, that is all shortcomings. But Lord, thou art able. Thou art able to give it unto me. Oh, Lord, increase my faith. Take away my unbelief. Take away the hardness of my heart. Oh, do take away all the doubtings, that I would never question thee again. That I would never question thy might, that I would never question thy power, that I would never question thy will. Oh, that I would never question thy own word as thou sayest it to be. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus has come into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Oh, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. There is a reason. There is a reason that Bunyan, he portrays the Christian when he is coming through that wicked gate. There is a reason, congregation, that is the experience of the soul that Bunyan portrays Christian as saying, and he gave me a pole. He gave me a pole. Why? Oh, faith. That is a duty. We have heard it. That is the word of God. They entered not in because of unbelief. Labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Oh, faith, that is a duty. But how is it now experienced in the life of God's children? It is experienced, congregation, as a gift. As a gift. And therefore, that church, there is a church from the beginning of the world unto the end of the world that has to experience the defects of faith, the weakness, the smallness, the shortcomings, the failings. Sometimes they are pressed in their need by the Lord himself. And when he is opening it, then in that moment they may say, Lord, I believe, but, O Lord, wilt thou also help me? O help thou mine unbelief. That is the true church. That is the true church. Do you belong among them? Is that also your strife? O congregation, he has given means for that church, a means. That is his holy supper. May the Lord bring there his poor believers. His poor believers to make a public confession. Public confession. A confession that belongs specifically unto the Holy Supper of the Lord. And that confession is, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Amen. The form for the Lord's Supper will now be read, which you can find on page 60 or 136 in the back of your psalter.
Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary, first, to rightly to examine ourselves, secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ had ordained and instituted the same, namely, to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that every one consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great that rather that it should go unpunished, he had punished the same in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that everyone examine his own heart, whether he doth believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake and of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly, as if he had sanctified in his own person for all his sins, and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that everyone examine his own conscience, whether he proposes henceforth to show through thankfulness to God in his whole life, and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he had laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and doth firmly resolve henceforth to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those, then, who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonished all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord, and declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels, or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of his word, and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sect, mutiny in Christ or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulteresses, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ had ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding, we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely, that we have not perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with the zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lust of our flesh. Yet, since we are, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, sorry for these weaknesses and earnestly desires to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured that no sin or infirmity, which still remaineth against our will in us, can hinder us from being received of God in mercy, and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord had instituted his supper, namely, that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner are we to remember him by it. First, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God under which we should have perished everlastingly. From the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he had fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden, where he was bound, that we might be freed from our sins, that he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. Yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and had also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and had humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him, and finally confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood, the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, it is finished. Secondly, that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his last supper, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner also, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many. For the remission of sins, this do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. That is, as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, ye shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this, my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and as certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life. As this bread is broken before your eyes, and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he is become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he had taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head and in us as his members, might have true communion with him and be made partakers of all his blessings, of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides, that we by the same Spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the holy apostle said, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground, and one bread baked, and out of many berries, being pressed together, one wine floweth and mixeth itself together, so shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be all together one body through brotherly love, for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who hath so exceedingly loved us, and not only shows this in word, but also in very deed towards one another. Here too assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen.
That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore his grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, and that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, yea, with him, true God and man, and that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt but that thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary as well for the body as the soul, as thy beloved children and heirs. Grant us also thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations with uplifted heads expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may be now fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost, with his body and blood as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. While the table is being prepared, let us sing from Psalter 417, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Send forth, O Lord of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. O let their rays in my privation lead me unto thy habitation. Beneath thy wing I'll be supplied. With grace thou wilt provide. All stanzas of Psalter 417.
Thank you.
Beloved congregation, the Lord Jesus has admonished his own church before that he has left them here below. Do this in remembrance of me, and that it may be for the strengthening of his church and for the taking away of those defects which are not to his honor. And thus, the Lord's Supper is once again, according to his command, prepared in the midst of us. And a week of examination once again lies behind us. And that time is now come, that the Master is come, and he calls for his people. Then we may ask, who is it? Well, then we have heard of a man who had to cry out, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And this is now the people that are called forth when all things have been made ready. Lord, I believe, and we have heard it, but the objects of that faith are, because there is a first object, ye believe in God, believe also in me. Thus that first object that becomes the object of faith in the life of his people. O Lord, I believe. Have you ever been truly given to believe in God? In God, in his law, in his righteousness, in his word, in your misery. Oh, were you ever given not only to believe in God, but has he also, even for a moment, ever opened unto you the riches of his only begotten Son, so that you may say, O Lord, I believe. If that is now living in the bottom of your heart, then come, for all things are ready. Congregation, what kind of faith is that? Oh, how did that man say it? I believe. Did he say it in the full assurance, in the full sense of assurance of faith? Oh, he said it trembling. How did he say it? He said it sensible of the defects of his faith. Oh, he said, Lord, I believe, knowing that that faith was not what could save him. Oh, he said, Lord, I believe, feeling every bit, the smallness, the defects, the weakness, all the shortcomings of that faith. And yet, before that all-knowing God, then he could not deny that there was yet something. Oh, there was something that even for a moment, that poor man, he may commit himself unto thee. And when he opened unto him his omnipotence, his might, his power, his willingness, and then he may say it tremblingly for a moment, oh, is there yet anymore that cannot deny this knowledge in your life of such a moment. Though the weaknesses are many, though that faith is ever so small, but that the poor for a moment may know what it is to commit himself unto thee, to roll over that burden and to feel that the Lord did take it up. Are there any more that have in this morning a desire to show forth the Lord's death till he come? Then we close this table. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Drink ye all of it. There are, beloved, here in this chapter, very visible two kingdoms. It is the kingdom of God, and it is the kingdom of Satan. What is now that thing wherein you feel so helpless? Is it not in delivering yourself from all your misery, because there is a triple-headed enemy. That is sin, that is Satan, that is this world. And how often do we not have to exclaim that this company is too mighty for me, that I cannot deliver myself. That was now the experienced helplessness of this poor father. Then he had to experience how great that his misery was. And now, by that little that man may have be given and may profess. Now we may see for a moment that that man may stand to the side and he may behold something. By that little faith, that man may behold a battle. That is what we are going to read now in a few verses, a battle. It is a battle between heaven and hell. It is a battle that that man has experienced his helplessness in. And now, by that little faith, for a moment, then he may only watch. And he may behold that that battle that was taken over for him. Because Christ, he now comes to his aid in that battle. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him." Oh, what a power. What a powerful command. What an authority that the Lord Jesus spake with in the sight of this poor father. Oh, then he may see that authority that he has given unto him from his father against the king of darkness, the prince of darkness. And he may speak, and the Father, he may watch there, because the Lord Jesus may speak there on his behalf. And he may do it for him and for his son. And then that spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, "He is dead." So the spirit still tries, knowing that his time is short, to kill him. Thus he sees the contest between Christ and Satan. And what may he behold? He may behold who receives the victory. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Oh, that Father, now by that little faith, he may behold this before us. Beloved, are the tokens of the battle. They are the tokens of what Christ has done for his church. And he sets them before us from time to time. Why? That we may, by a little faith, behold that battle. Here are the tokens that he has given himself, that he has come in the flesh, that he has taken upon himself our body. Those are the tokens. Here are the tokens, because it is no more whole, but it is broken unto us, and it is poured out. There are the tokens. And that he has broken his body for his church, that he has entered the battle. And how has he received the victory? Oh, we see in it the power, the authority, for he did not die and then bow his head, but he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. Thus he has given his life with authority, with power, permitting it to be taken away from him. And now what do we read in God's word? And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. Did they not say that of him too? Oh, the Pharisees, they must have rejoiced. Now we have him, because now he is dead. And how did they rejoice? Upon the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that he is fallen, he shall rise up no more, but with power, with authority, he has laid down his life. And with power and authority, he has taken it again. Oh, what a beauty to behold for one moment by a little bit of faith. What an entrance then for a little moment into that rest that remaineth unto the people of God. And now what happened? What happened to what Christ did say of the weakness of the unbelief, of the doubting of this man? We don't read it again. We do not read it again. Nothing more. But he may experience the deliverance of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you read in Hebrews 11, then you read of the heroes of faith. You read of Abraham. But we know, how was it in the life of Abraham? Oh, he gave. He took unto himself a Hagar. Is it mentioned again? No more. Read Hebrews 11. Speaks about Sarah. What does it say? That by faith, Sarah herself conceived seed. But what did she do? She laughed. Is it mentioned again? No more. By faith. Oh, it was even that little faith that is now seen by the Lord, his own work. It says, Isaac, by faith, blessed Jacob. But he tried to bless Esau. Is it mentioned again? No more. Oh, the Lord, he has seen that little work, his own work in his own people. And so we can go on, a Gideon, a David. I shall one day perish at the hand of Saul. And all of it is buried. Is buried where? Is buried in the grave of the only begotten Son of God. And that little portion, oh, that trembling portion, wherein that people must testify, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Oh, yet it is something to strive for. Why? Oh, that unbelief. It is a blot upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is not to the welfare of his church. If it may be seen in us, oh, the Lord give then, day by day, that it may be lived out. What lives in his church, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. So be it. Let us sing. And afterwards, the communicants may return to their seats. 312, 2 through 4. With deadly sorrows compassed round, my heart was full of grief. Then to the Lord I made my prayer, that he would send relief. 2, 3, and 4 of 312.
stone passed round. My heart was full of grief. Then to the Lord I made my prayer.
Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at this table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving. And everyone say in his heart thus, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, who hath not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore God commendeth therewith his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord. From this time forth, forevermore. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast of thy infinite mercy given us thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that thou givest us lively faith whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him through Jesus Christ thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayer, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 421, stanzas 3 and 6. Blessed is the man whose strength thou art. Thy ways are hidden in his heart. He treads the highway to thy dwelling. 3 and 6 of 421. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.